What's up, everyone? This is the Destruction Reviews Podcast. My name is Jason, along with
Jeremiah.
And just first off, we want to wish everyone a happy new year. Happy 2024.
Yes, sir. Happy new year, everybody.
This is officially season 2, episode 1 of the podcast. Woo! Woo! We got renewed. Looking forward to this year. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up. We got reviews of movies like Rebel Moon, Madam Web, The New Planet of the Apes, The New Alien. There's going to be a presidential election that we're going to cover because that's its own entertainment.
That one should be pretty fun.
So, Jeremiah, what are we talking about today?
Today, we are first going to cover the second Aquaman movie, Aquaman 2. What's the whole name? Lost Kingdom.
Lost Kingdom.
Gonna cover that. And then we're gonna get into the DCEU. How was it? Was it good? Was it bad? Was it okay? And then we're gonna get some projections of what's coming up, where we think they're going. Talk about it like that.
Excellent. So, as he said, we are talking about Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom, directed by James Wan. Starring Jason Momoa as Aquaman, Arthur Curry, Patrick Wilson as Orm, the Ocean Master, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, starring as David Kane or Black Manta, the Abuser Amber Heard as Mira, Randall Park as Dr. Stephen Shin, Dolph Lundgren as King Nerys, Timo Morrison as Tom Curry, Aquaman's father, Nicole Kidman as Atlanta, Aquaman's mom, and a shout-out to one of the coolest henchmen in this movie, Johnny Zhao, the female leader of Black Manta's henchmen. They called her Stingray. Mm-hmm. She had a few scenes, but I thought she ate them up.
Okay.
So, it's the first movie of the year, and I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I'm ready to put a wrecking ball through this film. But before I go on a diatribe, Jeremiah, what are your thoughts coming out of this movie?
I wish I had a lot of good things to say about it, but honestly, it was just as bad as the first movie. It honestly was. This movie had very little story plots that connected.
Yeah.
And the story beats that they had that were really good, they didn't follow all the way through on them. So you got stuff in there that we really didn't want. And then we got stuff in there that we really liked, but they didn't expand on it at all. And in fact, it seemed like they did everything they could to cut it out of there.
Yeah.
To be all honest. I mean, some of the stuff, I just don't know how you don't see it all the way through to the end.
So let's talk about that. We're going to kind of skip around. If you're listening to this podcast, I assume you've seen the movie. If not, you know, spoilers ahead. But I want to kind of get to the final climax of this movie because that's where a lot of this frustration comes from. Mm-hmm. And one of the big storylines that leading up to that was really good was Black Manta's storyline. I thought he was a good villain with good motive who was real evil.
He was evil.
And then there's like a subplot where like
there's even more evil.
The evil ghost of the former king of Atlanta, or the it wasn't even Atlantis; it was called something else.
Necros,
you're right. Which
the Lost Kingdom,
which is the Lost Kingdom, duh. And this guy, Cordon, apparently got the Black Trident's power and was consumed by it, but then also chose to make his entire like followers
zombies,
water zombies, or whatever. And so Cordon has to use his spirit to go through Black Manta. We get to the end, and the villains, they trade off each other. Black Manta loses his power.
Well, you want to finish?
No, because I see where I skipped.
Okay, so Black Manta, dude, this is so bad. Okay, Black Manta was the guy. Okay, he was our villain, and they made us like him. We like them all the way to the end. It's heading to this huge climax between Black Manta and Aquaman. Black Manta has Aquaman's son.
Yes.
He killed his father.
Yep.
All of this has happened. We get to the climax. Him and Black Manta have a mini showdown. And then it is interrupted by his brother, who has been helping him the entire movie. No hint of evil in his character. All of a sudden, the Black Trident gets some kind of hold on to him. And now it goes from Aquaman fighting Black Manta to Aquaman fighting his brother.
Yep.
And then there's one more trade-off. His brother resists the Black Trident. And instead of the Black Manta regaining his power, what is his name?
Cordon.
Cordon now arrives. So you go from Black Manta, mm-hmm. who was the villain the entire movie.
Right, hour and 20 minutes of the movie.
Right. Then you get his brother out of nowhere. He's under the spell of the Black Trident. And now he's evil. Him and Aquaman are going back and forth. As he's fighting Black Manta, Black Manta is still literally in the scene.
Yes, laying down.
He hasn't went anywhere. Fighting, now he's fighting his brother. They're tussling. His brother, he gets shoved to the side by Aquaman. And then here comes Cordon, the big bad, who is defeated by simply Aquaman. Aquaman doesn't even fight this guy.
Right.
It went from him fighting, he fought Black Manta.
Yep.
Then he tussled. They were like wrestling with his brother. And then he just didn't even touch Cordon. He just threw his trident through the Black Trident, and that killed everything. No more Necros, no more Cordon. It was all done. It was all done. Okay, so where do we start with this, Jason?
All right, so let's.
This is just.
Well, let me start with. I want to start with a positive.
Okay.
Going in, you know, I thought that Necros, and even some of the other locations, the set pieces were excellent.
Okay.
Visually, it looked cool.
Yes.
You know, we saw it on the big screen, and we sat back, and we were like, dude, this is, you know, we were probably visually, you know, audibly going, wow, look at that. The volcano location, that I think was called the Big Deep, or anyway.
Right.
That looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Even down, you know, underneath those set pieces when they were under the water in Atlantis, all really good. I thought the creatures were really cool. You know, I can't even name them because I don't even know what they were.
Right.
But the underwater creatures that were used to attack the heroes, those were awesome.
I don't think all of them were like given names though either. I really don't.
But, you know, there's really cool creative minds behind this movie, giving us something to look at and something to digest. But honestly, for me, that's really about all I liked. You know, the blue suit Aquaman wore when he was cloaking himself, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Black Manta's great until he wasn't.
Mm-hmm. One thing about the suit, because the suit did look cool, but why was he so damn big when he got into the suit? Like, he went from, like, I understand he's a big guy in general.
Yeah.
But, like, when he put the suit on, he was, like, twice his size. And I just couldn't get past that, man. He was too big when he put the suit on. Like, he was, like, the top half of his body was, like gigantic, right. Dude. Like,
yeah, massive.
Like, seriously massive, like. It was like Jason Momoa, the sumo wrestler. Like, yes. He was that just big.
Trying to compete with Black Adam.
Yeah, like, it didn't even look like raw muscle. It looked like he was just puffed up.
Okay, before we get into maybe the critiques of it, was there other things that you liked that stood out?
Some other things that I liked.
Anything you liked?
The villain had most of the... The things I like, most of the things I like, because I'm usually a story guy. I love visuals and cool creatures and effects and stuff. But that's usually like a topping for me, like something you add onto the top. I usually I veer towards like good storylines and cool characters. So Black Manta was really cool. I feel like he had a lot of story in there. He's just really cool. A really well thought out villain. Until they ruined him at the end. And what were some other things that I liked? I don't know, man. I'm trying to think here. I like the Black Trident.
Yeah.
You know, I like the whole thing about that. I even liked the whole Necros thing. The whole Necros and Cardon. Was that his name?
Cordon.
I even liked that thing until they put him in place of the guy we had been following the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think that worked. I never saw that coming. Like, and even if he did get, like, reborn, I thought it would be, like, when he was finally reborn, I didn't know it would be, like, him. I thought he would, like, you know, go into the body of Black Manta.
Right.
Or whatever. I didn't actually think he would come and surplant the villain of the movie. At the very end, like, the last 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Last 5 or 10 minutes, you completely wiped the villain we had been watching all movie. He has no closure. Black Manta doesn't get any closure.
Right.
We don't get any closure. And the way they kind of leave it, it's like, well, did he die or not? Because it's like, you know, yeah, he fell down that pit or whatever it was. But I don't know. I feel like it was unclear.
Yep.
It was unclear.
Never saw a body.
Right. Never saw a body. He, you know, they never, like, once he was just out of the picture, he was just out of the picture. They never said anything about him, or it was just, oh, man. That was rough, man. That was rough, dude. That was rough.
So I'm piggybacking off of that. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was just flabbergasting me throughout this film is that literally no one dies. I mean,
his dad died, but who cares about his dad, right? No, because his dad didn't die, right?
No, he didn't.
They magically healed his father.
He was like, "I'm gonna kill your father," mm-hmm. and he's like, stabs him through the stomach, mm-hmm. and then in the next film, or next scene, they got like some Atlantean medicine or something.
Yep,
and he's like, "You're okay,"
right?
But that doesn't piss me off as much as Amber Heard getting, like, mm-hmm. seared through the chest with, like, you know, a fire beam. And then the next scene, they're like, yeah, you're good.
Yeah, she's okay.
And Orm, Jason Momoa, Aquaman's brother, mm-hmm. getting, like, hit with that same blast, but closer.
Eviscerated.
Like, that's a great word. Because I was like, holy crap. Like, what a way to go out.
Right. And then Black Manta had killed some average Joes with those beams.
Yep.
So it was like, okay, we know they do damage.
Right. But, I mean, everybody is safe. I mean, it is like, this isn't a Disney Marvel production, but mm-hmm. it is like the point where, like, nobody dies. There's no consequences. And even the last scene where Black Manta falls down the pit,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a scene earlier where two human characters dropped down like a 50-foot glacier and survived.
Right.
So, like, nobody affects anything.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
And that's another thing. Ooh. Nothing changes in this movie.
Nothing changed.
Nothing.
The only thing that was different was that he had a son.
Right.
That was, like, literally the only thing that was different. Like, none of the characters, it was no difference. No difference at all. Black Manta might as well had not even been there because
right.
in the end, he was fighting his brother and Cordon.
Because if that Black Trident is there
mm-hmm.
and his brother grabs it and still brings out Cordon
right.
at the end.
Why
you need Black Manta?
Don't need him at all.
Why, instead of Black Manta trying to find all of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
why don't you write his brother gets out of prison
mm-hmm.
and, like, searches for the kingdom to unleash this evil king.
Right. To try to overthrow his brother. Right. To overthrow
Aquaman. So that he personally doesn't have his hands on it, mm-hmm. but it could overthrow. See, that's a better movie.
It would have been. It would have been. Seriously, man. I don't understand how studios and filmmakers make these mistakes time after time after time again. You would think that they wouldn't do this. I mean, I don't know. Is it just us? Does the average movie watcher sit here and watch this movie and just it goes over their head what happened? Do you think?
I think so.
Okay, because there's no way you're gonna set this out into a slate of critics and expect great ratings. There's no way.
Right.
I just don't see it.
And you have your, you know, because you're going to have your average moviegoer see it, but mm-hmm. if a movie theater held 100 seats, like when mm-hmm. we saw it, it was mm-hmm. pretty, there was a lot of people. I'd say there was probably 30 people.
Right.
Right. Like, I mean, it was, you know, when I say a lot, this is probably about a 75 seat theater. Mm-hmm. It's probably about 30 people. We had a family of three sitting next to a mom and two kids sitting next to us. And they were laughing at the potty jokes and mm-hmm. the wisecracking Momoa stuff and mm-hmm. and there was like a squid character.
Oh, the AI squid, right?
Yeah, the octopus. Yeah, the AI octopus. And so, you know, that's the movie that I think they were making.
Right.
They weren't making it for like hardcore cinephiles like ourselves and you, the listener,
mm-hmm.
because you're gonna nitpick. And I'm telling you, for me, you know, it's going to be interesting when we get to our ratings, because going into this, I had zero expectations, and I think Jeremiah had more expectations.
I did.
But where we fall might almost be similar. And I think that's kind of like DC knew that this movie probably sucked, but they had to put it out.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, they didn't mm-hmm. cancel it, like right. Batgirl and things like that. So this movie isn't made for like the people who like pour over the Snyder Cut or mm-hmm. or read the comics.
Definitely not.
Cause, man, I'm telling you, Jason Momoa, I think, is horrible as an actor. Like, I did not enjoy him in the Fast and the Furious movie that he was just in as the villain.
Okay.
He was okay in Game of Thrones because he didn't talk.
Okay.
And
what about Doom? Do you like him in Doom?
When he was doing his action scenes, uh-huh. it was awesome. Okay. But when he was in dialogue scenes yeah. with Chalamet or even Josh Brolin, mm-hmm. it was awful.
It's kind of like when you watch him, it's like you can tell he's reading lines.
Yes!
That's kind of how I feel. He never convinces me he's the character.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
He looks amazing.
Yep.
You know, he's a good-looking dude. He's mm-hmm. muscular. He's this and that, but...
Mm-hmm.
He's awful.
He's awful.
And actually, I can't believe him. You know, I grew up with the Super Friends version of Aquaman, right?
Okay.
Orange suit, blonde hair. He's on the seahorse. He's, you know, it was very what you expect somebody in the ocean to be like.
Right.
And then the version that they had on Smallville, I thought was really cool.
That was really
different.
Dope.
And then
he was almost like Superman of the sea.
Yeah.
Which is practically what he is.
Yes.
Superman of the ocean.
And then he comes into this as mm-hmm. Jason Momoa portraying this character mm-hmm. is terrible because his line reading is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
The wisecracking, I don't find anything funny
about
him.
It's just flat.
Flat. And then as a director
mm-hmm.
or producer puts... He is the Superman of the sea. I'll mm-hmm. take what Jeremiah just said.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, we don't see his strength until absolutely unnecessary moments.
Yes.
This dude is so strong. He's punching people through floors. He's punching grass, like mutant right. grasshoppers.
Yes.
Like, why are we running across the tundra of this planet mm-hmm. when he could have just turned around and punched everyone?
Right. Let's get to that, man.
Okay.
See, and this is why this movie is so bad and nothing means anything. So, like we get to the, what was it? It was like they were mutated because of the stuff in the air, right?
Yes.
I forget the name of that stuff that they were burning.
Oh, gosh.
It's something. Like calcium.
Calcium.
Right, something like that. It sounds like calcium.
Yeah.
Something like that. But they're burning this stuff, man, and everything's mutated, so you got like small ants that are like 30 feet big, you know,
yes.
like, you know what I mean, that type of ordeal.
Yep.
And you know, like a horde of grasshoppers start chasing Aquaman and his brother. They're running for their lives, they're scrambling, trying to get away from these things. They finally get it done. They get away from it. And at the very last moment, there's one grasshopper. He's still coming.
Still coming.
And his brother is like, watch out. And Aquaman simply turns around and he says, like, are you scared of this thing? Now take into account, they've been running for their lives for like the last 5 minutes trying to get away from these things. Aquaman turns around and just wallops this thing. Like, it was ridiculous, man. It was ridiculous. Like, he completely, like, if he was going to punch that thing, they should have made him punch it so hard.
Yeah.
Like, he obliterated that grasshopper.
Yep.
So, that was pointless. Why run from those grasshoppers if you and your brother, because let's not forget, his brother is also super powered.
Yep.
You guys could just beat him up. And that would have been way better than watching you guys run around and do nothing. Like, run around and push a statue over. That was bland. It was boring. Mm-hmm. And once he punched the grasshopper, it was like, okay, dude, what is your deal? You know? I just didn't get that. It was like, even, like, they are so strong. Before they push the statue over to get away, his brother, Aquaman's brother, they're top of, like, a 100-foot cliff. And his brother was like, let's just jump. We'll survive the fall. Like, they're that tall. They're that strong. They're that powerful. It's like, dude, this is ridiculous. Because I would have to assume the grasshoppers aren't going to survive that fall.
No.
So, just jump down. And that's way cooler.
But they don't have to jump down because they can turn around and just punch them.
Right. Or they could just, more than likely, like super jump across. Like, why did you have to knock the... I'm pretty sure they could have jumped across because they're super powered. Like, it just made no sense. It didn't make any sense. And by the way, all of those scenarios, whether they would have fought back, whether they would have jumped down or just jumped across, they all would have been better than what we saw.
Yeah.
Them knocking down the statue. Like, that was just, it was just weak. It was weak.
Mm.
It was weak, man. Like, I think that's a perfect word for it. That was some weak stuff. It really was. And another example of the whole strength thing, I'm trying to, it's slipping my mind, but there was another example. Were they like fighting some bad guys?
Yeah. In the control room.
Right. Oh, right, right. Oh, that's what happened. It was like that mechanical arm, right? They were struggling with. Uh-huh. All of a sudden, he just wham, wallops it, and no more. Like, come on, man. It just didn't make any sense. It just didn't, man. I didn't. It almost reminds me, it's not as bad, but it's borderline there, how they did Thor. How Thor was, you know, pretty much a joke.
Yep.
You know, extremely strong, but you never see him use all that godly power.
No.
You know what I mean?
Right.
This is the same thing with Aquaman. He's clearly incredibly powerful, you know? But you never see him use that power. You know, it's like he uses it at the very last moment after everything, after you went through all of this dramatic stuff,
yep,
when, you know, Aquaman could have just simply did the deed. You know, been a hero. He could have just been the hero.
Yeah, save everyone.
Right. Like, he never... And that, you know, now I said it out loud, you never feel as though he's a hero. He's like a halfway in between.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just a super-powered guy, if you really, you know what I mean, if you really think about it. He's not a hero in those movies. He's just a super-powered guy.
He just happened to be the king.
Right.
And he happened to be... in charge of, I don't know, the seven seas or whatever. Mm-hmm. And,
but I never...
But even in Justice League,
mm-hmm,
you know, even in the short scene in The Flash, I mean, mm-hmm, he's just drinking.
Right. He's just a guy with superpowers. Like,
right,
he never gets that superhero, like,
right,
motive.
There's no Batman, there's no Superman, mm-hmm, scene. I mean, even in The Flash... takes an extraordinary situation and chooses to, you know, when he finally hugs his mom at the end of Flash, mm-hmm, and sacrifices, you know,
mm-hmm,
the future, the past to become the future, mm-hmm, or whatever. Like, there's a heroic moment. Even, right, Supergirl,
yes,
has a heroic moment in that film. Mm-hmm. And Shazam and his family. Like, everybody kind of has
everybody has a Black Adam.
Yep.
Like, they all have that heroic moment. And this guy, he does not have one.
Even the Suicide Squad.
Right. They all... No, seriously. This is... That's just bad, man. It's a shame, to be all honest. Because he's a cool character.
Yeah.
He's a cool character.
I know you like Aquaman.
I like Aquaman, dude. Because he's cool. You know? He's a cool character. You know? Ruler of the seas. You know? He can talk to fish. Where's his pack of sharks? Before we went to see this movie, I told Jason that it was going to be a hard knock for me if he didn't have a pack of sharks. The pack of sharks never showed. Never showed. How is this guy the ruler of the seas? He's doing battle, yet he doesn't have the apex predator of the sea along with him to do comp. It just makes no sense. Instead, they give you little flimsy stuff like an AI octopus.
Right, and the seahorse.
And a seahorse. And that thing he was riding, a seahorse. Just make him ride a shark, dude.
Right.
Way cooler.
That'd be more badass.
Way more badass, dude. Way more badass. Like, it's not even close. I don't know, man.
So another thing that I really was frustrated with, and I guess I kind of knew it was coming, but the fact that Amber Heard still kept her job in this movie.
The abuser.
The abuser, man. I just
the accuser.
Oh, yeah, and the way she abused, you know, Johnny Depp in the trial and set him up, and
just we all saw it
verbally. Yeah, people are aware of it. it frustrates me to no end. You know, unfortunately, right now, in my home life, there are people in my family dealing with, you know, false accusations, you know, by females, and people kind of automatically believe that stuff. And so, you know, you got people fighting for their lives and their credibility, and it's just, it is so difficult. You know, one of the reasons we haven't been doing the show for the last couple of weeks, you know, we've been infrequent, is just my schedule has just been blown up because of these things and trying to put the family together. And you know, I get to see her on screen and in a pretty prominent role. You know, I thought the scene where we thought she was going to die with the hole in her chest, I was like, great. This chick is going to get what she deserves, and she's done with this movie. Right. And then she kept coming back.
She kept coming. You know, it's sad to know that we live in a world where if you're not a billionaire with your own private island, you're practically at a woman like hers' mercy.
Yep.
You're at her mercy. Because I'm telling you, man, she is, well, first of all, she's a very beautiful woman, okay? So she got that working against you right there. She's beautiful, okay? You know, people get heart eyes when they see her.
Yep.
Then she's an actor. So she can cry on cue. She can lie to your face without even blinking. Yep. Okay? It's a tough matchup, man. You know, I honestly believe she shouldn't have been in the movie. Anyone else, especially a male, accused or convicted as she was... you know, guilty. Yep. She was guilty. And she had charges pressed. And any male that go through anything like that, especially when it's like domestic violence or, you know, any of those types of things, you're not getting this role. We're writing you out of that.
Jonathan Majors.
Jonathan Majors. Writ him out, and they didn't... apparently, he didn't do anything. But he still got written out. I don't know.
Well...
I don't know.
Regardless of what will be found in that trial, or
he is written out.
He's written out. Because all they got to do is accuse you, and you're done.
And the same thing should happen to Amber Heard.
Yep.
Especially seeing the fiasco that she put on in the public court. I mean, I'm sorry to say this, but this shows, and I've been trying to stay away from this, because a lot of times, people online, they say a bunch of stuff, and a lot of people get behind it, but it's not the truth.
Right.
But coming around full circle to see them allow her to be in this movie, I think Disney they're taking a dark road here.
Well, this is Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers? Yes. So this isn't Disney?
Nope.
Okay. Well, Warner Brothers...
Jonathan Majors did the Disney decision.
Okay.
But this is Warner Brothers.
This is Warner Brothers? Yep. Okay. Well, with that being said, still, the whole woke thing, I'm not a fan of it. Not a fan of it. You know, women do not have to be forcefully fed to people. Right. You don't have to shove that point down everyone's throat every chance you get. And at all costs. I mean, think about the role model you're putting up, you know, for everyone to see. Okay? Because she's the queen of Atlantis, right?
Yep.
She's the queen of Atlantis.
His wife.
His wife.
The mother of the baby.
The mother of the baby. She has powers. She's beautiful. Okay? You don't want women, young girls looking up to her, okay? I'm not saying that character, but her, the actor, she's a bad lady.
Yep.
She's a bad lady. And if you do any research on her, this is the first thing that's going to come up is her trial with Johnny Depp.
Yep.
So
the fake makeup bruises, mm-hmm. the talking to the jury.
The whole nine yards.
Her just being uncredible mm-hmm. witness.
Just a flat out liar.
Yeah.
Flat out liar, manipulator.
It's on video, mm-hmm. her berating Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. And, you know, oh gosh. I mean, mm-hmm. I could go on, but
she shouldn't have been in this movie, man.
That, you know, despite all of the storyline flaws and things of that nature, just seeing her on screen was like, I was ready to cheer her death.
And to be all honest, you know, I thought it was coming. I thought, there's no way she's in the, no like, way. Like maybe they filmed, you know, certain stuff that they right. can't get away from, but they're going to kill her soon.
Yep.
She's not going to make it through the whole movie. She made it through the whole movie.
The whole movie.
The whole movie, man. Which is crazy.
Just... And then the first scene when mm-hmm. we meet, you know, Aquaman is telling a story to his son.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the, you know, changing the diaper potty jokes. And the baby is peeing. Amber Heard, who has just been convicted of being an abuser and a liar, like, uses her power to move the pee into Jason, into his face. Into
his mouth.
To literally abuse him on the first ridiculous. 5 minutes. Ridiculous. Are you kidding ridiculous. Me, Warner Brothers?
Right.
And right there, I was like, F this movie.
Right. What type of subliminal... And, you know, it's hard to say, oh, they wasn't thinking about it that way. Maybe they didn't... Maybe they, it wasn't their objective to say, you know, oh, look, maybe it wasn't their objective to say, okay, she was just in an abuse case. Let's have her abuse this guy on our big film. Of course, they didn't go that route. But when you wrote that in, there's no way you didn't think to yourself, this kind of maybe isn't right. There's no way. I mean, these people are high-end filmmakers. They're smart. Okay, they do their due diligence. They cross all their T's. They dot their I's.
Yep.
There's no way something like that could miss you.
No. No. Somebody in one of these meetings mm-hmm. have to be like, do we right. want to leave with that?
Right. And they're like, we don't care.
Because if that whole segment gets cut out mm-hmm. and we start with the glacier and the creatures kind of being discovered by the scientists. Mm. If we start like that, I'm okay with it.
Okay with that.
We get our villain. We get our storyline. Let's go.
100%.
And then, you know, maybe the next scene we see Jason Momoa. Because other than the pee scene, Jason Momoa is a single father.
Yep.
Where's Amber? Amber Heard is obviously in Atlantis. Mm-hmm. But, like, she's literally written out of this movie until... maybe it was just a CGI version of her underwater.
Okay.
And maybe they, you know, used motion capture from other stuff they filmed. Okay. I don't know.
Possible.
Dude. Oh. And I'm sorry, but as banging as she looked, uh-huh. like, her breasts were immaculate.
Right.
Like, you're just looking at her suit going, oh my God.
Right.
Like, I know there's going to be simps that watch this movie uh-huh. who are like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. there's no way she could have lied.
Yep.
But I'm sitting there going, F this bitch.
Right. And that's the thing. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, that's the thing about it, man. You know, because people are going to look past her wrongdoings, you know. It's just a shame, man. It's a shame. If I was Jason Momoa, I would have said, nope, you got to get, I'm not doing anything with her.
There is a theory that I heard on another podcast that talked about this movie that the CGI squid was actually – the squid was taking place of Amber Heard in those scenes.
Really?
That she was a major part of the rescue and, you know, that kind of stuff with his brother.
Okay.
But at that point, they wanted to, maybe they got rid of her and put the squid in there.
Right.
I know the squid was in the first movie, so, you know, that would make sense for him to come back. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's true, because she was so prominent.
Mm-hmm.
But even in those, like, last scenes when the heroes are sort of talking about, you know, everything before mm-hmm. before his brother dives into the ocean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think she even says a word in that scene.
She does not.
So I think that's all just CGI.
Okay.
Possibly. So maybe the stuff with, like, the baby scene in the front,
mm-hmm.
and maybe some of the stuff, because I know she talks underwater,
mm-hmm.
but I bet there was only a little bit filmed. Okay. I don't know. I also heard, mm-hmm. now, I'm going to start a rumor because I don't care,
right.
but I had read on uh-huh. the internet, which of course is probably true,
mm-hmm.
that the studio wanted to fire her after these allegations,
mm-hmm.
and her ex-boyfriend, Elon Musk, supposedly contacted them and paid them off to wow. keep her in the film.
Wow.
And supposedly, she got $2 million for her role, which mm-hmm. was double her salary from the first film.
Wow. Because she needs money.
Because she needs money.
Because she has to pay all the money for the trouble she was in court. Lord have mercy. Wow, man. Wow. Wow.
And so I'm telling you, man, like, I'm never going to watch this movie again.
No.
I didn't like the first one.
No.
And this is probably worse than the first one just because of all the shenanigans with mm-hmm. her and just the storyline is terrible. It had an opportunity to be really good, mm-hmm. and then it just fell off.
Yep. 100%. Those endings, man. Those endings will absolutely destroy your movie. There's no way around that. You gotta end it well. I mean, a good ending could do both things. It could either destroy your movie or it could save your movie.
Yeah.
It could save it. And yeah, it did not do that. Nope.
So as we finish this up,
one more thing. Oh, yeah. Before we finish up.
Yep.
Can we talk about this last dislike?
Oh, of course. I'm sorry. I totally missed that.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the last part you want to talk about?
Okay. The global warming theme. Back to the woke writing.
There it is.
More woke writing. Okay? The entire film is centered around global warming. And it's like, it's an underlying thing that, like we said, most people will not catch. But it's an underlying theme.
Yep.
It, when you're looking at the movie critically, you have to put that in there. And in my opinion, it's more woke BS.
Do you think it is something that film goers should be aware of? Like the polar caps melting,
mm-hmm.
the a factory putting pollution into the air that could like harm our vegetation.
Mm.
I mean, you agree that's something we should learn about.
Right. Of course. We should definitely be looking for alternatives. You know, shouldn't be polluting the air, but come on, man. We've been doing this for years. It's been happening like since humans have been on Earth. Like it's been happening. It's going to continue to happen, and unless you put a giant globe around the globe,
yeah.
how are you going to stop it? it's nonsense, man. It's nonsense. Unless one of these movie writers has an alternative to what we're doing, like has an alternative to fossil fuels and all that,
yeah,
just stay away from it, man. there's no amount of awareness that will stop the planet from warming.
Right.
I mean, right.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's something that we should probably be aware of, but honestly, you know, and I am... I'm going to say this, and it's probably going to sound bad, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
One of the points we talked about earlier about this whole movie, nothing changes. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Do what you want. Have a carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Don't wash your apples before you eat them. Whatever.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Live your life.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't. The people who control those things are far, far, far and beyond any of us.
Yep. Like,
they're not listening to us, and they never will.
And they don't want to ask our opinion
anyway. They don't want our opinion. Otherwise, things would have changed by now. It's like you're just beating a dead horse, man. I mean, we've been beating this dead horse for the last 20, 25 years, 30 years. It's just not going to stop. They're going to continue to cut down rainforests. They're going to continue to melt the ice.
Yep.
They're going to continue to drive buses and trucks.
Fly planes.
Like, let me ask the audience. Do you want to have to walk everywhere? I don't think so. Do you want to have to pedal a bike or push a scooter or a skateboard? I don't think so. And that's the thing with a lot of people, global warming is terrible. Okay, well, how are you going to get to work today?
You ever handled a rickshaw?
Right. You work 30 miles from your home. Uh-huh. Are you going to walk today? You're going to ride your bike?
Oh, by the way, 9 inches of snow. You're going to walk?
Right. Good luck, man. Good luck, dude. And it's just, you know, some of the stuff, you got to pick your battles.
Yeah.
You really do.
Yeah. It was, this movie was trying to do a lot, and ultimately it's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to give you my rating.
Okay.
Going into this discussion, I had it at a 3.
Okay.
And I thought about some things, and I go, because I rated Aquaman, the first Aquaman, I gave it a 3.
Okay.
It was just awful. I can't get over it.
It was pretty bad.
But this is worse. I honestly, dude, I think Amber Heard makes it worse for me.
Okay.
And I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay.
And I give it a 2 simply because of the effects and the set pieces, and the creatures were kind of cool. And I just, you know, I give it a 2 only because I had a great time with you going.
Okay.
You know, we had some bomb ass mozzarella sticks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some good burgers.
Yes, sir.
Had some beer. Just having a good time.
Yeah.
So I will remember this as a fun time experience.
Okay.
So that makes it a 2 for me.
Okay. Oh, man.
Might be the worst one I've reviewed. I don't know.
Oh, man. Because
even like with Super Mario Brothers, like that's probably a rewatchable movie just because of the funness of it.
Right.
And we know it's going to suck, but it's going to be fun.
Right. Yeah.
There's nothing fun about this.
There's nothing. I'll settle on a, you know, 2, anywhere between a 2 and a 3.
Yeah.
Nothing higher than a 3. And, you know, most of my likes are the same as yours. I really like the villain. The villain is what's carrying my rating.
Yes, sir.
And also what is bringing my rating down is the fact that how they treated the villain at the end.
Yeah.
That just, the ending just killed me, man. I just, yep, nothing higher than the 3. I will settle, yep, right on a 2, 2.5.
2.5 between the two of us.
Yep.
Well, this is the 15th. Or 16th, depending if you count the Snyder Cut, film of the DCEU.
Wow.
Starting in a couple years when the new Superman film comes out, that'll officially be the start of the Gunnerverse with James Gunn handling DC's WB slate.
Okay.
We did see Blue Beetle, and technically James Gunn is president of DC, of the DC films right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that film is technically part of the DCEU. So in the version of this discussion, Blue Beetle is not part of the Gunnerverse.
Okay.
But there's been 15 movies in the DCEU. And our first, and we're going to kind of go through these and, you know, was the DCEU good, bad, or meh?
Mm-hmm.
And we start off with Zack Snyder, Man of Steel. And this Man of Steel, I give it a freaking 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
The suit, the action, the filmmaking. I'm a big Zack Snyder fan. Okay. There's not many films that he's done that I think are below a 10 or a 9.
I have to agree.
So, Jeremiah, what do you think of Man of Steel?
I'm going to give Man of Steel a solid 10. A solid 10. It was a great story. Superman was done really well.
Yep.
You know, Superman was done really well. He's my favorite character. And this was a really well-done Superman movie. And I like the title more than anything, Man of Steel. I like that they didn't call it, you know, Superman. I like that it was Man of Steel. That this will go down as one of my favorite Superman movies.
Okay.
Yep. One of my favorite.
Well, then we follow that up with Batman versus Superman.
Okay.
Which one of the biggest things growing up in the 90s was the death of Superman in the comic books. Mm-hmm. It was massive. It was like a year-long build-up.
Okay.
Multiple titles led up to this, you know, Doomsday coming out, you know, Lex Luthor, you know, creating Doomsday and right. having him come towards Metropolis and, you know, building up this battle to battle Superman.
Right.
And then Superman dies, and then it's a year-long, they called it a world without Superman.
Mm-hmm.
It was a giant, you know, they had five different Superman. Cyborg was one of them. There was a Superboy. There was a Superman clone. There
wow.
were all these different Supermans to try to take place in Kal-El.
Okay.
And so there was this massive storyline. We're talking 3-year storyline arc.
Okay.
And in Batman vs. Superman, the stuff they do on Doomsday, the scenes, it felt like the comic book was coming to life.
Really?
I absolutely... There are scenes that I just... I can just remember watching... When I watch the movie, I can remember reading those books, reading the comic books, and looking at those pages over and over again.
Okay.
It was outstanding. Okay? Mm-hmm. I thought Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor...
I love that
was
legs.
Tremendous.
Yep.
And then we introduce Wonder Woman gets introduced into this film,
mm-hmm.
and you know Diana is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And I also liked that this yes, so this version of Batman with Ben mm-hmm. Affleck,
mm-hmm.
I think we open up that movie with him watching the events of Man of Steel.
Yes,
and watching the destruction mm-hmm. that. Happens between him and Zod.
Super cool.
And it's like, yes, this is what I wanted.
Super cool.
Super is real stakes
mm-hmm.
and consequences.
Right.
So
and you know it made you, you know when I first saw Batman vs Superman and when it starts with that scene, you're like wow, you know Superman killed people. Of course he didn't mean to, but it was like you know like wow, you know. People were hurt.
Yep.
Even though he was trying to save everyone, it was just like, wow, that was yeah. really cool how he bent that into, you know, Ben Affleck wanting to get back at him.
Yep.
Tremendous. That was really, really
good. So I give it a 10.
Mm-hmm. And I'm right there with you.
And then the next one, we got Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
The very first Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Will Smith, Margot okay. Robbie, Jared Leto.
Okay.
The other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal.
Yes,
like,
sir.
First of all, I will not tolerate any Jared Leto slander as Joker. Because that man
uh-huh.
gave us a version of the Joker
uh-huh.
that you'll never see again,
mm-hmm.
and no one will had the balls to ever try.
Yes. He was very, very, very cool. Very cool. I love the grill.
Yep.
I love you know the tattoos,
yep.
just the biker boy look. Super cool Joker. I'm right there with you as well.
Margot Robbie as Harley mm-hmm. Quinn. I mean,
she's
come on,
cool.
dude.
Yeah.
I mean, this is mm-hmm. this is what dreams are made of.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I love the Joker in that movie. He was so like, you know, twisted
yep.
and just a dark dude.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't even think he had that many lines in the movie.
No.
You know, it was just kind of his... you know, based on off aura and, you know, presence. And
yep.
He slammed that, man.
Yep.
He slammed that.
So that's a 10 for me, dude.
I'm right there with you.
The next we have Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And if there's one scene that is the iconic scene for the DCEU for me,
mm-hmm.
it's Wonder Woman going through No Man's Land.
Okay.
I mean, I think that is... That scene, dude, is like... This is why we love superhero movies.
Okay.
Right? Give us hope.
Mm-hmm.
Give us belief. Give us the ability to think that we can be more than we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if it's woke. I don't know if it's, like, subtle.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, like, her origin movie is, like, why we go to the theater.
Her origin movies is one of the best ones that they've done.
Yep.
She had probably the best origin tale.
Yes.
How she was like the little princess and she was doing the trial or the gauntlet, whatever,
yep.
with the other Amazonas. Super dope.
Yep.
Super cool. I love the like the old fashioned, how she's so old.
Uh-huh.
And
the fish out of water story.
Yep. I loved how, you know, I forget the guy that she was going against, but he was really cool.
Yes. The Red Skull, but
who was he? I think he was a god, right?
He was.
I forget who he was.
The British guy.
Yep. Yeah. He was a god, though, just like her. But that was super dope.
Yep.
Super dope. I love that.
So
that,
I give it a 10, scene. Dude.
Yep.
I'm 10 out of 10. Yep. And then we come back to Zack Snyder, mm-hmm. and we get the Justice League. And we get Superman, we get Batman, we get Wonder Woman, we get Aquaman, we get The Flash, we get Cyborg. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of where the DC and WB studios really put their hands into the films. And what we saw in the theater, mm-hmm. the Justice League, was not good.
And we also got Darkseid in that movie, right? Was that Darkseid?
Was that just in the Snyder Cut? See, what I remember about this Justice League is that's when Superman dies. No, Superman died. What the hell am I talking about? Superman died in Batman vs. Superman, mm-hmm. and then they resurrected him in Justice League.
Yes.
That's what it is.
And then they went against Darkseid, right?
Yes.
That guy? He's Darkseid?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't like Darkseid's look. Like, the aesthetic on Darkseid, didn't like it.
Right.
Darkseid,
even in the comics, was just a villain that I just never connected. I was like, whatever, dude.
Okay, right. Because he's pretty much Doomsday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He's pretty much Doomsday. Like, but way watered down.
Yeah.
And, like, Superman takes down Darkseid immediately in Justice League. He's, like, completely outclassed. So it was like, you know, whatever.
But the studio's editing and the studio's kind of taking over of Zack's vision really watered that movie down.
I would have to agree.
I would give that, for me, I give it a 4. Okay. It's a not recommend.
Okay.
I would watch, you know, at the time that movie came out, I was like, I probably would watch it again simply just because it's got all the heroes in
exactly.
it. And the Flash stuff was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big Flash guy, but the stuff they presented on screen was really cool.
100% agree. I'm going to go one further up. I'm going to give it a solid 5. The reason why I go from a 4 to a 5 is because, like, the super cool scene where he's like, Superman just resurrected. And he's like taking on all of them. Wonder Woman, Cyborg. The Flash, they're all like trying to, you know, hold him back, and he's just like, he's Superman. That was the coolest like showcase of the power of Superman. Like, they were all like on him. He's just like this unmovable object, and then you're like, okay, so none of us can outclass him in strength, you know. And then once that was made a fact, you know, after he had, you know, beat him all away, you know, Flash, you know, here he comes, the fast guy. Let's see what Superman has for this guy. And, you know, Flash thinks he has him, and then Superman head starts to turn. That was so dope, bro. One of the cool, when I think of the iconic, like you said, Wonder Woman through No Man's Land.
Yep.
That scene where the Flash is running through at super speed,
uh-huh.
and the Superman is stationary, and all of a sudden, his head turns. It's like, you can't beat him.
It is excellent.
You know what I mean? Yep.
Oh, outstanding. Mm-hmm. And then we get to Aquaman 1, which mm-hmm. we've kind of already discussed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving it a 3.
I'll settle on a 3 with you.
You know, so...
Terrible movie.
So you know, we got back-to-back movies that aren't exactly, you know, killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get Shazam. And Shazam was a surprise for me.
Okay.
I never really liked Shazam in the comics.
Okay.
But they presented it with a, literally a childlike... kind of vision.
100%.
And it was fun again. It wasn't the greatest, it wasn't the worst. I give it a 7.
Okay. I'm gonna settle on a 7 with you, man. A few things that knocked me. I don't like the suit. The suit is big and kind of puffy, just like Aquaman. I can see the child theme, kind of kiddish looking suit, you know, just real plain.
Uh-huh.
You know, so few things there that I don't really agree with, but solid 7. Still a good movie.
The next one is the Birds of Prey, or, you know, the Harley Quinn solo movie, mm-hmm. as it's been called.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of missteps in that film.
Okay.
They tried to make her just kind of be wisecracky, and there was so much potential in that film that was just lost.
Okay.
And so I give it a 7.
Okay.
Look, I love watching Margot Robbie. I mean, she can do no wrong.
Okay.
But that film was kind of a blur.
Okay.
And that was actually the last film I saw in theaters before the pandemic.
Okay. Okay. I personally have not seen Birds of Prey, but I trust my partner in crime. So we'll rock with a 7.
Wonder Woman 84 is next. It's an excellent film. Like, there's so much. I could go into a whole nother discussion about, like, the subtleness of Wonder Woman and its reasons for actually being created. Mm-hmm. But they touch on a lot of great things in 84. Mm-hmm. Pedro Pascal is great as the villain. Mm-hmm. Kristen Wiig's good as the cheetah. Mm-hmm. I give it a solid 8.
Yep, and I will give it an 8 with you. Solid 8, 8.5. She is a great role model.
Yes.
Now, I don't have a problem with my daughter looking up to her.
1,000%. And then we get, after thousands and thousands of petitions online and the nerds going crazy, we get the Snyder Cut of the Justice League. And if I could go higher than a 10, I would. But it's a 10. It's actually one of the best epic movies I've ever seen. The way it's presented, the way it's cut, the axe, the final dark side stuff, the stuff with Jared Leto at the end. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, dude.
Very good. Very good.
Then we get The Suicide Squad from James Gunn. Mm-hmm. And I mean, look, dude, Peacemaker. I mean, come on.
Idris Elba,
Peacemaker, you know, Margot Robbie. I give it an 8.
Okay.
I give it an 8 only because some of the, like, the polka dot guy was kind of silly.
Okay.
And the shark, I could do without.
Okay. I give it a solid anywhere between an 8 and a 10. You know, Idris Elba is really good. John Cena is cool, you know, and really good. John Cena is an underrated actor in my eyes.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
We'll leave it there.
Black Adam is next.
Oh, and, yeah.
Dude, that's a 10.
10.
I mean, I'm telling you.
Do we really have to say more?
Most people don't really know Black Adam. Uh-huh. And if you don't know Black Adam and you haven't watched it yet, please do.
Yep.
Because it's outstanding.
It's good and he kills people.
Yes.
It's very good.
Shazam Fury of the Gods is next. Mm-hmm. I give it a 9, dude. I really love the ensemble of his family.
Okay.
And the three sisters, I believe, were the villains in that one.
Oh, okay.
And I think Helen Mirren's one of them. Like, okay. Dude, the cast is good. So yep. It's a 9 for me.
I settle on a 9. I like the Council of Wizards. And, you know, the whole thing.
We're running out of time, and I wish we had more to talk about. But the next one is The Flash.
Yep.
I'm going to give it a 10, but I'm going to let you talk about it.
Flash, really quickly, I'm going to give it an 8, only because a few story beats about the origins of Flash that they kind of missed on, but still a very good movie.
Then we have Blue Beetle, which
Blue Beetle.
You can find our review in the archives. I give it a 9.
I'll also give it a 9.
And then the movie Aquaman 2.
The God-awful.
I just gave it a 2. You gave it a 2.
Gave it a 2.
2.5.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm, you know, and I know Jeremiah was just a little bit different than mine, but we're gonna pretty much average out the same.
Mm-hmm.
We give the DCEU about a 7.5 out of 10.
Yep.
Give or take, you know, a half point here or there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking 7 or 8. And honestly, over 16 films, if you average 16 films and every one is pretty much a high recommend, I think that's outstanding.
I think it's a success.
I go into these films as a DC fan from when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm predetermined to already kind of like these characters.
Okay.
But the presentation of what they're doing is different than Marvel, and I always like it.
Yes, I would have to say this is a win. I would have to say DCE, the DCEU, where they knocked it out of the park was the Superman, the Wonder Woman, and I would say the Shazams. Supermans, the Wonder Womans, the Shazams. If you want to throw in a lower tier, you can put in the Suicide Squads, you know, Blue Beetle, thing like that. But the big guys, Superman and Wonder Woman, they nailed it, which they should have.
And Batman were in those movies, so you're good.
Very good.
We will preview the Gunnerverse in another episode, but we're really excited for what's coming.
Oh, yeah.
And there's going to be Superman, there's going to be a Batman, there's going to be a Swamp Thing, there's going to be The Authority.
Mm-hmm.
These are titles that many people might not be aware of, but do yourself a favor. Check it out. Go to your comic book shop and, you know, see if you might like that stuff. So I'm glad we got to see the end of this this series, and now we're going to the Gunnerverse.
Yes, sir. Stay tuned, everybody. All right, for Jason and Jeremiah, we are Destruction Reviews Podcast. Beginning of a new year. Everyone, please stay prosperous. It's going to be a great year. Lots of fun stuff to cover. Ask your parents before subscribing.